Hosea. We're going to go to the book of Hosea. This might be the last week we do in Hosea. There's one other section in here I'd like to maybe do a lesson on, but I think I may preach a message on it sometime, just so you guys don't get repetition too much. This may be the last week. I don't know. I'll pray about this week and see what the Lord wants us to do. But book of Hosea, let's go to chapter number 6. Last week we talked about stepping out of the bounds and about how important it is that there are bounds in life, perimeters, boundaries, and how important it is that we stay within those boundaries in marriage, in our walk with God, and in our relationship with other people, and et cetera, et cetera. We talked about that last week. But in Hosea chapter number 6, we're going to look at this, another thought that comes out of this book. And honestly, we could spend 6 or 7 more weeks probably in the book of Hosea. There's actually a lot here. But we're going to move on to another book. I think we've got the main idea of what the book of Hosea represents. But in Hosea chapter number 6, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Come, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth." Look at verse number 1 of chapter 7. "When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they commit falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without." Now let's flip over to the last chapter. It'll be chapter 14. Hosea chapter 14. Verse number 1. Bible says, "O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips." That statement there, calves of our lips, it's an interesting statement. And that's one of the things we may talk about next week if we decided to go back here. But just something to think about. "Asher shall not save us, we will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands. Ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel, he shall grow as a lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein." Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to give us, Lord. Thank you for these faithful people that come every week, Lord, and I thank you for their faithfulness. And it is a decision. It's a choice. Many of these folks in here today would have a very plausible excuse not to be here this morning. But, Lord, they have chose to serve you. They have chose to come to your house and to honor you. And, Lord, I pray that you just bless them and help them. Lord, help each Sunday school class that's going on this morning. I pray that you help the teachers and help there to be a spirit of quietness among the young people. And Lord, I pray that you just help me this morning, Lord, and pray that you just help me to say exactly what I ought to say and nothing more and nothing less. And help me to glorify you in this lesson this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not really much for giving homework, but I do want to, because I didn't like getting homework. That's basically the reason. But that whole, I'm going to maybe let you guys kind of, if you want to, I'm not asked for turning papers or anything, but that statement, calves of our lips, in verse number, this is not to do with the lesson today, but the statement, calves of our lips, in verse number 2 of chapter 14, and then in chapter number 8, there's about 4 references to calves in chapter number 8. And this is what I'd probably do another lesson on if I was to do it, but I think I may wait. But I would encourage you. It'd be good for you. I think it would help you give a better understanding of any place in the Bible where it talks about calves or calves, like, you know, a cow. Okay, that's what it's talking about here. Study that in the Old Testament, just in the Old Testament. And you can do the New Testament too. But do a study on that in the Old Testament. And I think it would help you. I really do. I think it would be a blessing to you. I think it would help clarify some passages in the Old Testament that sometimes you kind of wonder about. And I'm not going to go into it, but it has to do with Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Now, if you've been reading your Bible through, you see that phrase, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which caused Israel to sin. If you see that phrase one time, I bet you see it 100 times in the Old Testament. And it has to do with calves. And that's all I'm going to say. And I want you to, you know, go look it up. Go find out how one man, the Bible says one man caused the whole nation of Israel to sin. And this is what it's talking about right here, is this sin that Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, caused Israel to do. So I'm just going to kind of leave it at that. And I want you, you know, you'll do what you'll do. But, you know, go look at it. It's very interesting. And you can chase it through the whole Old Testament, this one thing. But today I want to talk about, in Hosea chapter number 6, the first three verses talk about basically the children of Israel coming back to God. The first phrase in chapter 7, verse number 1, the Bible says, when I would have healed Israel. Okay, and then in chapter 14, Hosea talks about, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord, saying to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. Verse number 4, I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. And this morning I just want to talk about this, about the topic of forgiveness. Forgiveness. You know, did Gomer do what was wrong? Obviously, yes. And Israel has done what was wrong here. Israel has left worshiping God, and this goes back to what I was just talking about. They have gone to serve other idols, and these idols in this situation are some golden calves. They're golden calves, among other things, but golden calves. If you remember, you know, what did Aaron, you know, throw a bunch of earrings into the fire, and he said something came out? It was a golden calf. Well, Moses destroyed that, and then a little bit later, they're rebuilding these calves again, and they're worshiping them. So the nation of Israel has once again committed adultery against God by going and serving another lover, if you would, these calves. And they've left God. They've left the will of God. And we saw in Hosea, we've seen several weeks about how Hosea goes back to Gomer. And you know, Hosea had to forgive Gomer. He had to. You know, that's part of asking for, you know, telling somebody you're sorry is you hope that they forgive you. And I'm going to say this, you know, everybody in here has at some point been forgiven in your life for something. Everybody has. I've been forgiven probably more than anybody in here because I've done more stupid stuff, all right? But everybody's been forgiven. And I want to look at forgiveness this morning and just a few thoughts about forgiveness and, you know, how important it is not only that we go to other people and ask for forgiveness. We go to God and ask for forgiveness. But also the fact that it's important that we forgive other people. Because if you don't, there's one thing in here, and I don't know if we'll get to it, but I believe not forgiving somebody, there's one reference in here that we might, like I said, we might get to. It can even cause health problems. It's interesting. Can even cause health problems by not forgiving somebody. All right, and that I don't know if we'll get that far, but the first thing I want to say this morning is, first of all, forgiveness must be asked for. Forgiveness must be asked for. You say, Brother Chad, somebody never has come and told me sorry and that they wanted forgiveness. Well, okay, I'm sorry, but you know what? When you know God doesn't just forgive sinners, does He? I mean, He does. Don't get me wrong. God forgives sinners. But what does He want you to do? Ask for forgiveness. Okay? You know, there's people that, you know, they maybe have done you wrong, and Brother Chad, they've never come and asked me for forgiveness. Well, there you can live at a higher standard, and you can forgive them anyway. Okay? And I'm not saying that. But you know what? God also, there is a thing about humbling ourselves enough that you're willing to go say, hey, man, I'm sorry, I goofed up. Would you forgive me? Because I want to show you something here later that true repentance and true forgiveness, both of those together produce true love. But you can't necessarily have true forgiveness without true repentance and it produce a love. Okay? And I'm gonna get all, I know I'm kinda skimming the top of a few of these things, but first of all, forgiveness must be asked for. Forgiveness must be asked for. Let's go to Psalms chapter 32. You know, and I don't know. I think the first few times that Hosea went after Gomer, I don't know that she was sorry. I don't. I don't see any repentance necessarily. But at some point, Gomer, if there was going to be a restoration of a relationship, Gomer was going to have to ask for forgiveness. Psalms chapter 32. Because otherwise, there's always that friction there. Psalms chapter 32, verse number 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. So we see here God is forgiving this person, forgiving David. And it says, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. But then look at verse number 3. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. You know what that's called? Conviction. Knowing that you've done something wrong and trying to live with it. Okay? Verse number 5. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. So David's basically saying here, I couldn't sleep at night. I didn't have any peace. So what did I have to do? I had to go to God and I had to ask for forgiveness. And then go back to verse number 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. But David had to go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done this. Okay? So it's important. Not only do you go to God and ask for forgiveness, go to other people and ask for forgiveness. I don't believe that God can bless a church when there's rifts among different members of the church. There needs to be a unity here. Okay? Now, like I said, true forgiveness and true repentance produce love. But I believe there has to be both of them. You know, I can be a real forgiving person and be like, you know, somebody did wrong to me. Another member of the church did something that was wrong. And I can forgive them without them ever... Think about this. If you've ever been in this situation, you know what I'm talking about. I can forgive somebody and they can never come to me and say they're sorry. But in their mind, I may be fine. I may not hold anything against them. But in their mind, there is still, in the back of their mind, every time they see me, they're like, oh, Brother Chad, there's something I've done to him that I've never asked for. I've still got this rift. It may be fine with me. I may have forgot about it. No big deal. But in their mind, there's always that hesitancy. There's not the unity that there should be there. So I believe it takes both things. But you have to go to ask for forgiveness. 2 Chronicles. Let's flip over to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter number 6. This is a sermon. This is actually the prayer of Solomon here. But 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 21. The Bible says, "Hearken, 2 Chronicles 6:21. Hearken therefore unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven. And when thou hearest," what? "Forgive." When thou hearest, forgive. So Israel was needing to ask forgiveness. Look at verse 25. "Then hear thou from the heavens, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again into the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers." Verse 27. Then hear thou from heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, when thou hast taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and should send rain upon thy land, which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. You know, God wanted, in the book of Hosea, God wanted the children of Israel to ask for forgiveness. He wanted them to. Just like Hosea, I'm sure, in his heart, yes, he may have forgiven Gomer to start with, and he said, I'm going to give you another chance, Gomer. But in his heart of hearts, I'm sure Hosea wanted Gomer to come to him and say, Hosea, I'm sorry for being unfaithful to you. I'm sorry for going after other people. I shouldn't have done that. Okay? 1 John 1:9. Very familiar. Let's flip over there, because if I try to say it, I think it's... I always get nervous up here, so... 1 John 1:9. Everybody knows this. We'll reference this one quite a bit. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You know, some people are like, well, somebody's just never forgiven me. Well, have you asked for it? Have you truly gone and asked for forgiveness? All right? Or you just make a big joke about it. Oh, it's no big deal. Well, maybe it is a big deal. Maybe it is a big deal. So forgiveness must be asked for. Forgiveness must be asked for. Secondly, forgiveness should be given when asked for. Forgiveness should be given when asked for. You know, this is another, you know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. You know, you want to be like Christ? If somebody says, I'm sorry, you know, forgive him for it. Forgive him for it. Now, there's a fine line here that we're going to try to differentiate this morning. Forgiveness, does it mean, Brother Chad, should, you know, what's the statement, forgive and forget? Forgive and forget? That's harder to do sometimes than what it sounds like. It is. You know, I hate to say this, the businessmen in here, you get somebody that gives you a shady deal and rips you off. Okay, I'll forgive them, but I'm not doing business with them again. I'm sorry. Well, you should just forgive and forget. Somebody rips me off. It takes me to the cleaners. I mean, okay, I may not pursue the money. I may, heads up to me next time. But you know what? I'm not doing business again, okay? There is a fine line there. All right, you know, if a young person here screws up and does something they shouldn't do, like I did when I was younger, okay, I'm glad that there's some people that don't, you know, hold that over my head all the time. There are times when you do forget stuff. But I'm also going to show you something else that I think is very interesting about that. But forgiveness should be given when asked for. Let's go to Psalms chapter, I know we're using our Bibles, but that's good. Psalms chapter 86. Psalm chapter 86, verse number 5. Psalms 86, verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. All them that call upon thee. You know, God's ready to forgive. And we should be ready to forgive. As a Christian, I should be ready. If somebody... Okay, there's an ought between me and a brother. And somebody comes to me and says, hey, I'm sorry. I should be ready to forgive him. Okay? I should be. But forgiveness should be asked for. Forgiveness should be given when asked for. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We are commanded to forgive other people. Matthew chapter number 6. Verse number 12. Well, let's look at verse 11 since we'll start it here. Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. Does this sound familiar, what we're going into? And forgive us our debts, period. No. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's pretty powerful. pretty powerful. All right. Ephesians chapter 4. Most of you could quote this once again. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It's not right for somebody to be truly repentant and for us not to forgive them. It's not right for us to be, for us to have a young person here that maybe does screw up, like I have done, and like if you were honest, you have done. It's not right for us to be, you know, hold that over their head their whole life, okay? If they're truly repentant, forgive them. Forgive them. That's what God done for me. He forgave my sin, all right? Forgiveness should be given when asked for. Forgiveness should be, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So forgiveness, first of all, should be asked for. Forgiveness should be given when asked for. Thirdly, true forgiveness for true repentance produces love. True forgiveness for true repentance produces love. You know, when one of my girls, Gwen the other day, she, you know, they know when they do wrong, okay? And people that think that kids, they're smarter than what I think we give them credit for sometimes. She broke a crayon, okay? No big deal, you know. I broke a lot of them. You know, I'm the kind of person that, you know, you put them all in a big pot and you melt it to make like one crayon that's like tie-dye colored or something, okay? So breaking crayons, no big deal. And with the most serious, she's got the real big eyes, and half the time she looks like, you know, I don't know, she looks like Frankenstein half the time with her hair and everything. But she was sitting there at the table coloring, and she held up the pencil, and she was about ready to cry. She's like, "Daddy, I'm sorry, I broke the crayon." You know, I was like, "Hey, it's okay. I'll buy you a whole, just because you told me you're sorry, I'll buy you a whole new box of them," you know. But you know what? She was truly sorry. And I said, "Oh, it's okay." And you know what that did for me? You know, I didn't get mad about it because she was truly sorry about it. I forgave her. And you know what? There's times like that. And I'm not just, that's a pretty silly, simple illustration, but you can draw closer to somebody if you are truly sorry for something and they truly forgive you for something. You can draw very close to somebody that way. You know, there's been times I've screwed up when with authority, and I said, and here's the thing. You don't need to be, true repentance isn't, you know, I have a kid here that, you know, one of my daughters does something, and I know this is part of the training process, and don't get me wrong, but one of my daughters does something, you know, maybe runs, Mrs. Alley's walking out the door, and Emily runs by and hits her, and I can, as a parent, and I should, stop her immediately and say, "Emily, you need to go tell her you're sorry." And of course, you know, she's going to be all, you know, upset about it and everything. But you know, that really is not true repentance. It's because I told her to go do something. What true repentance is she does something and knows it. And before anybody can tell her to go say she's sorry, she's like, "Mrs. Alley, I'm sorry." Well, she probably wouldn't know your name necessarily, but "I'm sorry for, I shouldn't be so hasty." That is true repentance. That's true repentance. You know, I can make my kids go do whatever, but just because they do it, that's because I'm telling them to do it. True repentance, when, you know, true repentance isn't when you get caught that, "Oh, I'm sorry. No, true repentance is before you get caught, knowing that you've done wrong and going to the one that you've done wrong to and saying, "I'm sorry for doing this." Let's go. I want to show you this. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter number 7. Verse number 41. You know, nobody was going to make Gomer go to Hosea and make Gomer tell Hosea that she was sorry. The true repentance would have come when Hosea, not after she would have been caught, Okay, true repentance would have been Gomer going to Hosea and saying, Gomer, or Hosea, I've screwed up. I've been unfaithful to you. And you know what that would have done? If Hosea would have truly forgiven her, that would have brought them closer together. Okay? Luke chapter 7, verse number 41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? It makes sense. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And we see the rest of the chapter there. But you know what happened here? A lady that was truly repentant went to the one that could truly forgive her. And because of that, she was showing affection for the one that forgave her. Amen. Okay? And you know what? True repentance coupled with true forgiveness produces a love, produces an affection, produces a tightening together of a bond. Okay? And I think that would make sense. So, first of all, we see that forgiveness must be asked for. Forgiveness, secondly, should be given when asked for. True forgiveness for true repentance produces love. You know, if you have a conflict with somebody, you know, maybe if the two people, one person says, I'm truly sorry, and the other person would truly forgive, I think there would be a closer bond between those two than I know there would be than when there's a rift there. There's going to be a drawing together, a closeness, okay? Here's the last thing. I don't really know how to phrase this, but forgiveness requires sacrifice. Forgiveness requires sacrifice. Now, it's not going to be the sacrifice that you're thinking, I think, but forgiveness requires sacrifice. You know, just because you forgive, you know, God forgave me of my sins. God forgave you of your sins. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And most of the time we think, well, this is the second death. This is the eternal death, Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. This is the death it's talking about. Well, it is. But just because God forgave me of my sin doesn't mean that I don't have to pay some of the penalty for my sin. The wages of sin is death. I'm going to die one day. You know what that is? That's a penalty for my sin. That's a sacrifice that I have to sacrifice for my sin. You know, just because somebody asks for forgiveness does not mean, and I want this to be very clear, because somebody asks for forgiveness does not mean that that eliminates all consequences for their sin. It does not mean that it eliminates all consequences for their sin. Let's go to Leviticus. This is interesting. Leviticus chapter 4. My daughter can do something wrong and come to me and say, Daddy, I'm sorry. But if I told her not to do it and she was going to get a spanking if she did it, she can tell me she's sorry all she wants. But there's still a consequence for her sin. Okay? Now, will that draw us closer together? Yes, it will. But there's still something that she has to pay because she transgressed the law. The law. I'm the lawgiver. That's right. Leviticus chapter 4, verse 20. We're talking about sacrifices here. Leviticus 4, verse 20. And he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering. So shall he do with this, and the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. Verse 26. And he shall burn all his fat upon the altar as the fat of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. Verse 31. And if he bring a lamb for a sin offering, he shall bring... Oh, sorry, not was it 31? Oh, I was reading the wrong verse. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat is taken away from the sacrifice of peace offering, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor unto the Lord, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. You know what God required? Say, Brother Chad, why did God have the children of Israel to give sacrifices? Do you realize that every time the children of Israel sinned, they had to take something that belonged to them and give it to God? They had to take, that was their possessions. That was something that they had, okay? So if you would, there's a penalty. Every time a guy goes out and he sins, well, then he knows as soon as he sins, there's a cost. That's going to cost me something. That's going to cost me a lamb. That's going to cost me a calf. That's going to cost me something because I've sinned. Now, did God forgive him? Yes. But it still cost him something. It was like I was talking about a minute ago. Okay, a businessman, if a businessman does a business deal and somebody takes him to the cleaners and rips him off, okay, he may forgive that person, but he's not going to do business with him. At least if he's smart, he's not going to do business with him again. Okay, he may give him one more chance, but most of them won't. They won't. Okay? You know, I'm glad that God gives me another chance. Amen. I am. But there's also, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Every time I sin, I believe this with all my heart, every time I sin, something dies. Something dies. It could be God looks at me and says, I have an opportunity for you waiting down the road, but because you've done this, I'm taking that opportunity away. Now, I may never see that opportunity, and I may never know, but every time I do something that God does not want me to, he may take away an opportunity. He may take away something that means very much to me. Now, is my sin forgiven? Yes, it's buried under the deepest sea, and I will go to heaven when I die. And that is God's forgiveness to us. But at the same time, you reap what you sow. And some people, they sow their whole life wickedness. And then at the end, they, God, would you forgive me? No, God will. God will forgive you. But you gotta pay the piper. I told Preacher the other day, we were talking, and he said, it's funny how everybody wants to sow. I have a farming mentality. Everybody wants to go plant all the weeds and all the junk. But then when it comes time to harvest, they go to the church house and want the church people to help them. This doesn't make sense. They want them to help them harvest what they sowed. I'm sorry, but okay, help as much as you can within the bounds of, sometimes people got to learn some stuff the hard way, me included. I'm in the same boat. If I done something stupid, okay, I need to pay for it. Now, forgive them, but sometimes you just got to pay. There's young people, and if you act like an idiot all through high school, and then you want the men of the church to treat you like another man once you graduate, well, I think there's some things that you have to earn. You have to show yourself that, okay, it's not a, 1 week transition as soon as you get a diploma that, oh, he's a man of the church. No, he's not. You wouldn't treat me that way. If I was stupid all through high school, and I did some stupid stuff, I did. But if I was an idiot all through high school, it's not, there's not a switch that you just turn on and say, well, he's okay now. We just got to forgive him and just write that off to immaturity. Well, okay, I'll forgive him, but I'll write it off to immaturity when they start being mature. Okay, I'll give him a chance. Okay, and you guys have given me chances, and I'm thank you for that. And I hope that by my actions I can earn respect. Okay, somebody said respect is not given, it's earned. All right. The same thing, and I know that we're using a high school illustration here, but the same thing is true. If you goof up, You know, people will forgive you, and they should. But don't expect everything to be exactly the same. But you know what, folks? On the other hand, as since this is the class I'm talking to, you know, we're more, you folks are usually more on the forgiving side than the asking. Not that sometimes we shouldn't ask for forgiveness, but most of you folks are older, and you're more on the forgiving side of things than on the asking side of things. So, you know, do forgive people. Now, I'm not asking you in any way to take away the consequences of what they've done. I'm not asking you to, because that wouldn't be right. It would not be right at all. But do forgive them. Forgive me when I screw up, because I'm going to, okay? It happens all the time. Just ask my wife, okay? But you know what she does? She forgives me. Now, it means I won't get cookies. It means, you know, all the stuff. You know, there's consequences. No, I'm kidding. But she does forgive me, all right? No cookies for a couple weeks, but there is forgiveness there someplace. No, I'm kidding. But, okay. In all seriousness, forgive people. If you screw up, ask for forgiveness. And but don't take away the consequences of their wrongdoing just because they ask for forgiveness. If there's consequences, I think that's part of the problem with our society is we've taken away the consequences in the terms of political correctness. We've taken away all consequences for people doing wrong. You know, we've got hundreds and thousands of men sitting on death row. Why are they sitting on death row? Well, we just need to be a more forgiving people. No, there's consequences. As far as I'm concerned, if it's a child molester or anything like that, what does the Bible say? They put a millstone around their head and throw them in the ocean. Well, I'll forgive you, but there's that line again. I'm not letting you near my kids. Okay, we don't let them, I'll say this, and it's well known, we won't let them in the church. Say, Brother Chad, that's just discriminate. No, it's not. I'll forgive them, and I'll say hi to them at the store. But they've crossed the line that I am not willing to let them do certain things. We've got 120 kids here today. At least 100 kids, I guarantee you. There's too much risk. You committed a sin, and now you have to pay the consequences. That's simple as that. Simple as that. Not discriminating against anybody. You know, we love everybody. God forgives all sin, but there are consequences for certain things. So in your forgiveness, make sure you don't buckle. Make sure you hold strong the consequences too. I think if you look at the attributes of God and what God has done for us, we'll also see that God does give second chances. But sometimes he takes away opportunities that we could have had because of certain things that we've done. And you know, I think Hosea, he forgave Gomer. I do. I believe Hosea forgave Gomer. I don't really ever see any place that Gomer asked for forgiveness. So I think because of that, I don't know if there ever was a sweet relationship there. I don't know if there ever was. Because true repentance plus true forgiveness produces love. So just a few thoughts about forgiveness and our interaction with other people. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity that you've given us, Lord, to come to your house. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, thank you. Lord, that you've forgiven me, and Lord, I thank you for the folks in this church and in this room right now that have forgiven me for things I've done, and Lord, I pray that I could go above and beyond and earn their respect, and Lord, I pray that they would that we would all, as we look towards other people and members of the church, Lord, that we would be willing to forgive. Lord, if we've done wrong to somebody else, help us just be humble enough to go ask for forgiveness to that person. And Lord, help us to be like you in this manner. In Jesus' name, amen.